It is January 24th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. RJ O'Ryan shared in a post on LinkedIn that the Commodity Markets Council honored Rich Feltus with a Lifetime Achievement Award this Sunday. RJ also congratulated its fixed income group on its 25th anniversary. RJO was traditionally a cattle house and expanded into financial futures and more to become the largest non-bank FCM. Intercontinental Exchange Chief Marketing Officer Stephanie Dobbs Brown is featured in a podcast interview in Advertising Week titled Great Mind. Stephanie Dobbs Brown, Chief Marketing Officer, Intercontinental Exchange, ICE. There are many different tea leaves through which market watchers try to predict recessions. Today, the Wall Street Journal has a story about the decline of participation in the workforce of temporary workers at companies. The story is titled, Companies Cut Temp Workers in Warning Sign for Labor Market. And the subheadline is, Employment Through Staffing Firms Has Fallen for 5 Straight Months. Similar pullbacks have preceded recent recessions. Mars Inc. is ditching its spokes candies and M&M-shaped characters it used in commercials to sell its products for an indefinite pause while it shifts to comedian Maya Rudolph as spokesperson, the Wall Street Journal reported. I believe that Miss Rudolph, no known relation to our Sarah Rudolph, though both are very funny, will cost more than the spokes candies did. The Wall Street Journal also tells us that when it comes to marriage and money, opposites attract. The subheadline of the story is, Spouses reshape each other's financial behavior for richer and poorer, marriage research suggests. The U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission is hiring an outreach and engagement specialist, Office of Minority and Women Inclusion, in its Washington, D.C. office. Tony Pettipiece is the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign, making him a serial giver. Thank you, Tony, for your contribution and support for John Lothian News. Don't miss the FIA 2022 annual ETD volume review on February 2nd at 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, featuring moderator FIA Senior Vice President Publications Data and Research Will Ackworth and Liquidnet Global Head of Listed Derivatives Mike Duplessis. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, a video, our last from FIA Expo 2022. Marex North American CEO Ram Vital talks about geopolitical events, market disruptions, and its ED&F Man acquisition at FIA Expo 2022. Ram Vital, CEO of Marex North America, was on a panel at FIA Expo 2022 about recent geopolitical events and their effects on the markets. John Lothian News spoke with him following the panel, and he talked about markets disruptions, the threat of nuclear war, and Marex's October acquisition of ED&F Man Capital Markets Limited UK business. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Insider. Inside Ken Griffin's rise to one of Wall Street's most powerful people and why politics could be next. JB and I are not on speaking terms these days, said Ken Griffin, the billionaire hedge fund manager, referring to J.P. Pritzker, the Democratic governor of Illinois. Griffin, wearing a light blue dress shirt that wrinkled around his soft belly, suit pants, and untied black Oxfords. It was around 5:30 p.m. on a hot and humid Miami day last summer. I had come to a rented WeWork space 23 floors above the Palm Trees and Million Dollar Yachts to interview Griffin about his decision to relocate from Chicago. My comment: I don't believe for one minute that Mr. Griffin would go into politics himself. He is not positioned personally for it, nor has he made himself available to the public in any meaningful way that would reflect an interest in public service. That is not to say he would not continue to have great influence on politics. He will. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Everything is also bank fraud, also Mango manipulation, Musk M&A fees, and skin in the ESG game, by Matt Levine. Everything is bank fraud. You know my theory. Everything bad thing in a public company does is also securities fraud. If there is a data breach or sexual harassment or animal mistreatment or pollution at a company and the public finds out about it and the stock goes down, then someone will sue the company, arguing that it defrauded shareholders by leading them to believe that there wouldn't be a data breach or sexual harassment or whatever. And this theory is weird, and people sometimes say, wait, shouldn't securities fraud be for like accounting misstatements, not sexual harassment? But it is a little hard to articulate a limiting principle. If a company convinces investors that it is good, but it is in fact bad, then it has defrauded them, and badness is not limited to accounting. My comment: don't be bad. It is bank fraud unless you only use cash. Maybe that is why criminals like to use cash. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. There is a Bitcoin bar in New York City for Thirsty Crypto Fans podcast. For Bitcoin enthusiasts and those who are curious, a place to gather, have a drink, and commiserate over the crypto winter. It is 2023, and the crypto community is hoping to pull out of its funk and put up the blow-ups, bankruptcies, and price slumps of the last year in the rearview mirror. While some remain hopeful, churning out ideas for a more fruitful and perhaps community-driven crypto futures, others are still smarting from last year's carnage. But now both groups have a place where they can toast a revival or drown their sorrows at a new Bitcoin-themed bar in New York. It's called PubKey. My comment: I would prefer an Ether bar. The air is cleaner. Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was Abaxx's white paper, Back to the Futures, the best commodity benchmarks are still physically settled on the Abaxx website. Second was Citadel's $16 billion wins Topps Paulson greatest trade ever, from Bloomberg. Third was a tie between the Wall Street Journal's worst avian flu in U.S. history is hitting poultry, wild birds, even bears, and the Abaxx's press release, Abaxx submits specifications for LNG futures contracts and publishes white papers on futures on physical commodities. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from the Wall Street Journal, the headline: SEC scrutiny blocks some crypto firms from going public. Companies including Circle Internet Financial and AlToro have failed to secure the regulators' approval. Crypto companies seeking to go public over the past year have faced increased scrutiny from the Securities and Exchange Commission as financial distress and failure spread across the volatile industry. Crypto-focused companies, including Bullish Global, Circle Internet Financial, and AlToro Group Limited, have failed to secure the SEC approvals that are required of companies going public. The firms were seeking stock exchange listings through mergers with special purpose acquisition companies, an alternative path to going public that thrived in 2020 and 2021 before heightened regulatory checks and market turbulence ended the SPAC boom. The next story is from the Financial Times, an opinion piece. The headline: Why passive investing makes less sense in the current environment. This is an investment world that will reward much greater selectivity and dynamic asset allocation, by Mohammed Al-Arian. Should the vehicles that investors choose to place their money be a function of the investing environment? This question is not asked often enough by investment committees, which tend to focus on asset allocation issues, model portfolios, and manager selection. Yet it is a question that has become a lot more important for generating high-risk adjusted returns, particularly given the massive shift of money from active to passive investment strategies in recent years. And then finally, here's another story from the Financial Times. The headline: BlackRock's iShares regain pole position from rival Vanguard. Last year's net ETF flows at $221 billion were lower than 2021, but Vanguard's $214 billion marked a far steeper decline. BlackRock's iShare exchange-traded fund arm dethroned arch-rival Vanguard at the top of the global ETF net flows leaderboard last year, returning to the pole position after 2 years in second place. But the big two also entrenched their duopoly in the ETF industry, with nearest rival State Street Global Advisors and Invesco suffering deeper wounds from souring market sentiment. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.